Hi, I'm Laura Rich Creek with Laura's Voice. This week, I have a Christmas story from 1890 by Francois Coppée, a poet, dramatist, short story writer, and novelist, born in Paris in 1842. He wrote this sweet story and was often criticized for his sentimentality. The editor of Classics Old and New, where I found Little Carl's Christmas, said that some of his, quote, prettiest works were children's tales, unquote. Interestingly, Coppée's reputation diminished when he joined the extreme and violent nationalist movement. He later helped found the notorious anti-Semitic Ligue de la Patrie Française. We all can have two or more sides, and we need to carefully craft our brand and reputation, for we know how easily things can change. Evidenced here, too, in Little Carl's Christmas. Little Carl's Christmas by Francois Coppée. When little Carl was only 7 years old, his father and mother died, and he had to go and live with an aunt. This woman was not kind to him. She kissed him only once a year, and was sorry every time she gave him food. Besides, although she had money, she gave him only very poor clothes. The poor little fellow was therefore unhappy, and hid himself in out-of-the-way corners to cry when Christmas came. The night before this Christmas, the schoolmaster was to take Carl and all the other pupils to church and bring them back to their homes. As the weather was cold and there was a great deal of snow, the children came to the master's house wrapped and bundled up with fur caps, double jackets, knitted gloves and mittens, and good thick boots. Only Carl came shivering in the clothes he wore weekdays and Sundays. On his feet were nothing but coarse stockings and heavy sabots, or wooden shoes. His thoughtless comrades made 1,000 jests over his long face and his poor dress, but Carl tried to take no notice of the boys or what they said. Presently the troops of boys and their teacher started for the church. On the way the boys talked of the fine suppers that were waiting them at home. One boy told of a big goose that they were to have. Another was to have a little fir tree in a wooden box, from whose branches hung oranges, sweetmeats, and toys. The children spoke, too, of what the Christ child would bring them, and what he would put into their shoes, which, of course, they would leave in the chimney before going to bed. Little Carl knew very well that his aunt would send him to bed without any supper, but he had tried all the year to be good and industrious, so he hoped that the Christ child would not forget him. Therefore, he, too, looked forward to putting his wooden shoes in the ashes of the fireplace. When the service was ended, the band of children, walking two by two after their teacher, left the church. In the porch, sitting on a stone seat, a child was sleeping, a child clad in a robe of white linen, with bare feet in spite of the cold. He was not a beggar, for his robe was new and fresh, and near him on the ground were some carpenter's tools. Under the light of the stars his face was sweet, and his golden hair seemed like a crown. But the child's feet were blue in the cold of that December night, and were sad to see. The children, so well clothed for the winter, passed heedlessly before the unknown child, but little Carl, the last to come out of the church, stopped, full of pity for the sleeping child. "Alas," said the orphan to himself, "it is too bad that this little one has to go barefoot in this bad weather. But what is worse than all, he has not even a wooden shoe to leave before him while he sleeps, so that the Christ child can put something there to comfort him." Then little Carl took off the wooden shoe from his right foot, and laid it in front of the sleeping child. Limping along on his bare foot and dragging his stocking through the snow, he followed the boys and returned to his aunt's house.
"Look at that worthless fellow!"
cried his aunt, full of anger when he returned without his right shoe.
"What have you done with your wooden shoe?"
When the little boy told her what he had done, she burst into a mocking laugh.
"So you take your shoes off for beggars?" she said. "This is something new. Ah, well, since that is so, I am going to put your other shoe in the chimney, and I promise you that the Christ child will leave there something tonight to whip you with in the morning. You shall pass the day tomorrow on dry bread and water," she went on. "We shall see whether the next time you will give away your shoe to the first beggar that comes."
After having given the poor boy a few slaps, his aunt made him climb up to his bed in the attic. The child was grieved to the heart. He went to bed in the dark and soon went to sleep, his pillows wet with tears. On the morrow morning, when the old woman went downstairs, oh, wonderful sight!
She saw the great chimney full of beautiful playthings and bags of fine candies and all sorts of good things. Before all these splendid things stood the left shoe, which she herself had put there that very night, and in which she meant to put a birch rod. By its side stood the right shoe, which her nephew had given to the little waif. Both were filled with gifts. As little Carl came running down and stood before all these beautiful gifts, suddenly there were loud cries and laughter out of doors. The old aunt and little boy went out to see what it all meant. There they found the neighbors gathered together around the fountain in the square. What had happened? Oh, something very strange and amusing. The children that expected to have only beautiful gifts had found nothing but rods in their shoes. Then the orphan and the old woman, thinking of all the beautiful things that were in their chimney, were greatly surprised. Presently they saw the priest coming towards them with wonder in his face. Then the people understood that in some strange way, the beautiful sleeping child, near whom were the carpenter's tools, was the Christ child. This has been Laura's Voice. I'm Laura Richcreek. Remember, love your neighbor. Thanks for listening. Production copyright 2019.